Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, January 23rd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the legislature passes a tax relief bill, supporters make another push for Sunday liquor sales, and Congress works on a No Child Left Behind overhaul. The state unemployment rate continued to fall last month, but at the same time, Minnesota employers eliminated 5,200 jobs. Matt Sepik reports.
Minnesota's jobless rate hit 3.6% in December. That's the lowest it's been since April of 2001 and 2 points lower than the national rate. State labor market economist Steve Hine says he doesn't know exactly why unemployment fell, even as the state lost 5,200 payroll jobs. But he says December's employment picture may improve once the data are scrubbed to remove statistical error.
I kind of look at this December decline in jobs as something that may get revised away. It may turn out to be a one-month anomaly.
The majority of the job cuts were in state and local government. December's losses come on top of a downward revision in November job growth. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Minnesota Senate passed a bill yesterday that squares Minnesota's tax code with the federal tax code and sent the bill to the governor. The bill includes 30 items that DFL Senate sponsor Rod Skoy of Clearbrook says could mean tax savings for some Minnesotans.
Minnesota taxpayers will have the opportunity to file their taxes, not have to add back income in some areas for others. And for those that qualify, it'll be a tax saving. So I'm glad that we've got it done. And now we'll get this to the governor for his signature.
The legislation also fixes a glitch in the funding formula for the Destination Medical Center, a massive public works and development project in Rochester that's being paid for with public and private dollars. There will be no delay in the remodeling of the state capitol now that the House, Senate, and governor have agreed on how to allocate space in the building. Tom Scheck has the story.
The Capitol Preservation Commission signed off on a final design that increases public access to conference rooms, dining rooms, and bathrooms. The agreement on the plan reduces the number of offices for state senators, but nearly all will have offices in a newly constructed building. Every member of the commission, including Governor Dayton, praised the agreement.
It's a big step forward for the public and the people's building, and really makes that a reality.
Construction crews are working on a major overhaul of the Capitol. The work is scheduled to be completed in 2017. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The latest Minnesota adult tobacco survey found Minnesota adults continue to quit smoking. Mark Zadeklik reports.
According to the new survey, the adult smoking rate in Minnesota dropped to 14% last year. That's down 2 percentage points from the previous survey in 2010. Clearway Minnesota Director of Research Raymond Boyle says that's a statistically significant change. But even more important, he says the smoking rate among young adults plunged 6.5 percentage points to 15%.
Part of the big story here is that, or historically, for a very long time, young adults were the biggest consumers, if you like, of cigarettes. And that's no longer the case.
Boyle says half of adult smokers said the 2013 state tax hike on cigarettes led them to try to quit. The survey's main finding has a margin of error of 1%. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota lawmakers who want to overturn the state's ban on Sunday liquor store sales have renewed their fight with bills introduced in the House and Senate. They say momentum is growing for a change, as Tim Pugmire reports.
Republican Representative Jennifer Loon of Eden Prairie described her Sunday sales bill as an issue of freedom for businesses and consumers. During a news conference, she also said the bipartisan proposal would bring the state into the 21st century. Loon said she thinks support is growing in the House.
More are coming out publicly with their support, and I will tell you, privately and quietly, there's a number of other members who are supportive for this that aren't interested in putting their name out there publicly at this time. So the momentum is definitely there. It's happening.
Similar proposals have been offered in the past without success, but DFL Senator Roger Reinert of Duluth, the chief sponsor of the Senate bill, said he thinks 2015 is the year to get it done. Reinert said public support is also growing.
You know, here we are, a state that in the last couple of years has made marriage equality law, has dealt with the issue of medical marijuana, but somehow liquor sales on Sunday is too much. That's a bridge too far. I think the people of Minnesota are ready for this. 38 other states have figured out how to do it.
Reinert's Senate bill, unlike the House version, would also allow liquor stores to open on Thanksgiving and Christmas. The lawmakers were joined by several liquor store owners who support the legislation. David Hansen of Stillwater owns Hansen's Liquor. He said his customers have told him they want to buy liquor on Sundays.
I would just like the opportunity and the choice to be able to provide it. We sell a legal product in a legal and responsible way, and I should have the choice to be able to do that on Sundays without government interference.
Other business owners are against changing the law. The Minnesota Beer Wholesalers, the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association, and the Teamsters are among the groups opposing Sunday sales. Many legislators from both parties are also opposed. Republican Senator Warren Limmer of Maple Grove said he's concerned that the same amount of liquor would be sold whether a store is open 6 days or seven. Limmer said he thinks small stores would be harmed by Sunday sales.
The dollars aren't really there, but the expenses for the little shops go up proportionally quite a bit. And the big companies who can afford loss leaders are the ones who can live well in that type of environment, and chances are it'll close the little businesses down.
DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach of Cook is also opposed to Sunday sales. He's especially concerned about the impact on small-town municipal liquor stores. Despite his objection, Bach said he expects the issue will get a vote in the Senate.
A leader can prevent a bill from coming to the floor for a vote, but you can't prevent somebody that's going to offer an amendment. So I would venture to say that Sunday sales is going to get a vote on the floor of the Senate this year.
DFL Governor Mark Dayton says he would sign a Sunday liquor measure if it reaches his desk, but he stressed the issue is not one of his priorities. The bills have been referred to the House and Senate Commerce Committees for potential hearings. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Students and parents in Minnesota may want to start paying more attention to what happens in Washington over the next couple of months. Lawmakers there, including 2nd District Republican Congressman John Klein, are working on a rewrite of the No Child Left Behind education law. That could have a big impact on student testing. Brett Neely has the story.
President George W. Bush signed No Child Left Behind in 2002. The main thrust of the law was to tie federal education dollars to how well students score on standardized tests. Attempts to overhaul the law have been in limbo for years. But with Republicans now in charge of both chambers of Congress, the GOP is hoping education can be one area where they can return power to state and local governments. Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander, the new chair of the Senate Education Committee, set the tone at a hearing on Capitol Hill this week.
While the federal government has a very special role in ensuring that our students do not experience discrimination based on who they are or what their disability might be, Congress is not a national school board.
While the law that affects grade school education has many components, there's one that's drawing the most interest from Alexander and the teachers' unions.
Testing is the biggest issue.
That's Denise Speck, the president of Education Minnesota, the union that represents most of the state's teachers. Alexander has introduced a bill in the Senate that would eliminate annual testing requirements in favor of what's called grade span testing, which Speck and other union leaders praise.
And I'm very intrigued by that because it would still measure how the system is doing, but it would be over time. There would be one test, say, in elementary, one in the time in the middle school, and one time at the high school.
In addition to concerns about annual testing's effect on classroom time, unions have been concerned about efforts to link teachers' pay and promotions to test scores. Minnesota Republican Congressman John Klein chairs the House Education Committee. Unlike Lamar Alexander, he wants a new education bill to preserve annual testing.
I do think it's important that there be testing.
Klein is a close ally of House Speaker John Boehner, who previously chaired the Education Committee and helped craft the original No Child Left Behind law. And Klein emphasizes that he believes some of the goals of testing in the original law should continue.
And I think it's important that you get enough data that you can disaggregate it. That is, you can peel it apart to make sure that you're not leaving behind certain groups.
The 2002 law contained sanctions for schools that performed poorly. Klein says those sanctions were counterproductive.
Some of the resistance to the testing has been, well, it's so high stakes.
Both Klein and Alexander want to scale back the role of the Federal Department of Education. The Obama administration has used competitive grants and waivers from some of NCLB's requirements to encourage states to adopt Common Core curricular standards and make other changes. Klein says it's urgent that the law be changed now in order to limit the federal government's power to push states to change their education policies.
States are recognizing that they put a lot of effort and have to continue to put a lot of effort in to get waivers, temporary conditional waivers, and they don't want to do that. They want to see the law changed.
But not everyone wants to see big changes in the law. Minnesota Education Commissioner Brenda Caselius notes the state received a waiver from NCLB in 2012 that she says fixed a lot of problems with the law. Caselius says there's little she'd change about the law now.
The focus is all about testing because that's the controversial issue of the day, but really the focus ought to be on equity and adequate funding for students with disabilities and students who have been underperforming.
Caselius notes that Minnesota taxpayers foot the bill for approximately $600 million of unfunded federal special education mandates a year. Klein says he hopes to find a solution for that problem as the legislative process continues, though he concedes there's little chance whatever bills pass the GOP-controlled House and Senate will contain more funding. Brett Neely, Minnesota Public Radio News, Washington.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.